This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
We got a lot of work to do. That you've got to get some work done during the break, and you got to be ready to win a game when we start up again.
Lindy Ruff on the Sabres and the break that is now upon them, 2 weeks essentially, while the rest of the hockey world, or a portion of it, focuses on the Four Nations. The Sabres, by the sounds of the coach, need to be focused on getting in a place where they can win the bulk, more than 75%, Marty, of
yes.
The remaining 28 games to give themselves an opportunity here. Welcome in. Brand new week on Sabres Live. And how are you? You good?
I'm great. Just, I feel like the hockey world, and you just mentioned, a portion of the, covering
it's
body.
It's a portion, right? Like, it really is a portion. Yeah.
They are tweeting, and social media is buzzing today with Team Canada practice and the lines and the power play and who's on the ice first. And, man, look at this goalie's equipment and look at this other goalie's equipment. I know it. It doesn't start until Wednesday, but we are Monday, and that's what you do after a Super Bowl. You get right into hockey news right now. But for me personally, I'm looking at the next 2 weeks as I think it will be fun to watch the Four Nations face off. But I think back of when I played, like that All Star break, that Olympic break, that bye week was so important for me to just take a breath and just maybe focus on family for a little bit and then get back re-energized. So I think that's probably what most of the players, because there's only 92 players going to the tournament. The other 600 players or whatever, they're just, taking it easy for a couple of weeks.
Well, it's interesting that you phrased it that way. I think it certainly sounds like a logical approach from any player who is not involved in an event like this, but I dare say it's almost in contradiction to how Lindy Ruff just phrased what he wants from his team. And I've been reading, as many of the other team reports, and most of them speak with the tone of what you just said, like decompress, get healthy, feel better, feel ready, feel rested. But am I wrong? Like Lindy was there's, it was a tone. Granted, it was immediately after a loss that prevented them from hitting the break with a 5-game winning streak, which could have allowed them at least for 24 hours to feel like they gained on just about everybody in the race in the Eastern Conference. So in that sense, it's an even bigger miss than what one loss typically is.
Yes.
Like if we're going to keep measuring their distance to what their goal is, then Saturday was a huge miss based on loss of points, but also the opponent you were playing. My goodness, Nashville has not been good.
No, Nashville has not been good. You had just beaten them. They had lost 6 in a row. You had won 4 in a row. You're putting yourself in a position to, kind of get up in the game and say, hey, listen, we're going to take control of this game. We're going to put it away. Mm-hmm. And it didn't happen. And yeah, it was unfortunate that the Benson goal was called back because of an offside, but it was offside. Like, what it. Don't put yourself offside. And I think what Lindy Ruff's message was is taking a page from Herb Brooks. Remember in the movie Miracle when they go in Norway and they play and then Herb Brooks says, you didn't want to work during the game, you're going to work after the game, right? And he bag skates them in the building with the lights are shut off, whatever. I almost think like a lot of teams are saying, we've put ourselves in a position to be in a playoff spot. We've worked really hard all year. Let's take a couple of weeks to decompress because we have a lot of work coming up. And And Lindy's message is almost the other way. Like, hey, you did not put yourself in a position to earn a two-week vacation. You're putting yourself in a position to say, you better get in the gym and you better get on the ice. Yeah, I understand that, you know, you may go away, but, you know, John Tortorella was saying that to us too in New York the one year. He's like, when you guys are in Turks and Caicos in Cancun or Florida or whatever, every hotel has a gym. You better hit the gym, right? Like, that was Torts' message. And I think that's Lindy's message. Like, you better be ready to work when you come back. This is not, you've earned it. It's, hey, you're in a bad spot, and we need to make something happen as soon as you return. That was the message. Like, especially after that loss to Nashville, which Duffer, if they had won, maybe the message would have been different. Maybe it would have been, we've won five in a row. Remember what that's like. Take a little bit to breathe and then come back ready to work. But after that loss, I think it flipped the message. Like, no, we got a lot of work to do.
Yeah. That's interesting in itself, because obviously the message would typically be consistent all the time, right? Or not. I'm asking you from a coaching standpoint that even if you have or feel like you're playing for a disciplinarian or an insert type of coach here, did they vary? Did they give you little outs at times, or was it like full throttle all the time? Message stays the exact same? Like, what's the reality here? What's the reality here, especially now in 2025?
No, they did vary. They vary depending on the team, depending on the situation, also depending on the leadership inside the room. Oh, like, that is a big difference. Like, look, it didn't matter. I remember, like, if we had an all-star break or one year, Curtis Brown got married. We all went to his wedding. We enjoyed 3-4 days in California at Brownie's wedding and, you know, a bunch. But I can tell you this, James Patrick was in the gym working like he needed to make gains. Everybody's different. But the message inside the room is also different. So, you know, Rasmus Dahlin is going to represent Sweden at the Four Nations. He's going to be high intensity, high level of competition. And maybe after he's done with Team Sweden, you know, you get like a few days off before returning. Maybe that's for him the time to just decompress. Like, Dahls has been playing and trying at a high, high level. Probably played one of his best games this year against Nashville in a loss. But still, I think for a guy like him, the message is probably different. You know, Lindy shakes his hand when he sees him in the plane after the game and says, hey, good luck. And when you're done with the tournament, make sure you take a few days and then be ready to come back and work hard. But the message is also different to other players that do not have that luxury of saying, well, I've been pretty good over the last 25 games. I'm going to continue doing what I'm doing. No, there's more that needs to be done.
Yeah.
I was a backup goalie. I went for vacation knowing I wasn't going to play probably 5 games after that. So that was okay.
Well, you're selling yourself a little short, I think. But I don't know. Like, there's an awful lot of directions to go here. It's even just mentioning Dahlin. Hang on, I got a beeping truck here.
It's okay. You know what? I mean, the recycling bin needs to be picked up at some point, Duffer. So that's what's happening. But no,
this
we did
like
ask.
Naked Gun. Only the camera is actually reversed. If I was turned around right now, it would have been a vehicle like going right into the shot. Oh, it's like the Georgia Dome
the Atlanta bus.
The MARTA bus that got in front. This is literally what just happened.
Get out of the way. What are you doing?
Stupid bus.
That was, man. When we think about like stupid moments and all of it, that was definitely a stupid moment.
All right. So stupid moments in Sabres live broadcasting history. We're on the cusp of it right now. But when it comes to, like you mentioned, Dahlin, and obviously, it won't even take like an extraordinary. It's almost like the pace he's on, he could easily finish in top five in defense scoring. Not that that is any measure to then be able to say, oh, it must mean the Sabres had a great season because Dahlin ranked fifth among defensemen as opposed to ninth or 12th or 26th or whatever, right? But, like, can he and Byram be the, I don't know, let's try it. Let's call them, can they be the focal points coming out of this break? And if they are, how then can that make this team look different, feel different? How might it change the approach moving forward? Because obviously there's a lot of questions with Byram, his future, his next contract, yes, all of it. So let's maybe take it from this angle first, and whether we are true, even though they lost, I get it, you're not going to win every game. But we just saw another example of Dahlin and Byram, and can they kind of be a face, if you will, collectively for this team?
Well, when you look at the shot attempts against the Nashville Predators, like, Bo Byram was on for 27 shot attempts at 5-on-5, Dahlin for 23, and they were only on for 14 shot attempts against, right? So they were 2-1. When they were on the ice, they were on 2-1. They've been that way for the last, you know, few games. And yes, there was a 4-game win streak. But the biggest thing for me now is the shift, right? Because what we saw at the start of the season, and the question we posed on X was basically, you know, what has been different from, you know, what will be different in 2 weeks. But I also viewed it as what has been different from the start of the season to now, right? And at the start of the season, Byram was playing with Owen Power in the first game. And now you've got Dahlin and Byram together. And is that what you're focused on? Do you think Dahlin and Byram can be that pair that you are going to rely upon as your top pair? And it could be for the next 5, 6 years, 7 years,
yeah, that's
right?
Yeah, that's what we're getting at here, for sure. Yeah.
So,
like, what would even convince you at this point? Because at the end of the day, it's about wins, right? And because you're not there, now you're still managing, like, okay, we're not where we are yet, but can this be the duo that we trust in all situations, right? Like, this is a very, very, very critical time for roster development and projections.
Roster decisions.
Right? Decisions, yeah.
Yeah, roster decisions, because if you're looking at the next 2 weeks, you're probably going to meet at some point with your internal staff, and how do we go? Bo Byram needs a contract. He's an RFA. And when you return, you're going to have 2 weeks before the trade deadline. And if you don't think you're signing Bo Byram, there's no need to have Bo Byram on the roster for the last month of the season. And you're not going to, you know, I mean, we're still clinging on to, well, there's a chance they make the playoffs if they win 3
out of 4.
That's why
this discussion is so important.
But reality is, mm-hmm, like, you know what? The playoffs are not going to happen. The over-under right now for the Sabres point total at the end of the year is 78.5. Like, 78.5 is not going to get you anywhere near the 91, 92, 93 that it's going to take you. So, right. So make that decision, right? Like, but if you go with Dahlin and Byram as your top pair, where does that leave Owen Power? Because
I'm not worried about having a third defenseman of that, like, whatever you want to call it, salary, nature, style, whatever. Like, to me, then, which I think a lot of people have talked about for quite a while now, is what are the other three? What do the other three look like around those three?
Yeah, because next year, you won't have Yuki Aryu as a UFA. Well, you could have him, but, you know, he's a UFA. Bryson's a UFA. Gilbert's a UFA. Like, Samuelson, I mean, we cannot, I'm sorry to say that out loud, but it's like you almost have to put Samuelson in pencil in your roster, and you can't put it in pen because the amount of games that he's missed, and now he's out again, and you're looking at, okay, is that a figure that you're looking, he's going to play 90% of the games next season and would be part of your top four or whatnot? So I want to see now what the decision for the Sabres looking ahead to, is Bo Byram a part of it? I think that's the number one decision you have to make. Is Bo Byram a part of your future? Is there a way that they can get him signed? Or does Bo even want to be here long-term? Now that he's playing with Rasmus Dahlin and the numbers are there and he's playing 25, 26 minutes a game, like, are you going to get a better opportunity than that anywhere else? But is that opportunity...
Great question.
Better than saying, well, maybe I want to play for a different market, a different team, a different organization. I don't know. I don't know what his motives would be at the end of the day. But you have to have that answer. In 2 weeks, when you return from the break, you almost have to have that answer. What is going to be the situation with Bo Byram? Are we calling teams and trading him? Or is he going to be signed before the March 7 trade deadline? Because I think that's the deadline to make sure you have the right decision on Bo Byram. If you get to the summertime and Bo Byram wasn't traded and he's not signed, well, I mean,
he would still have trade value. I think no matter how
at the draft, yeah, but it's not
even. I mean, we do see, you know, late summer transactions where push comes to shove, contracts get in the way.
You can always take him to arbitration and say you're going to get a one-year deal and we're going to punt it down the road because he's our RFA.
Sure.
But is that the best approach, right? So I think there's a decision to move with Byron.
Do you want to be put on the spot here?
Absolutely. Put me on the spot.
What would you do with Bo Byram?
The way that he's playing now and the partnership that I'm seeing with Rasmus Dahlin, I would sign him. I would give him that extension. I would sign him. Now I know the extension may be $7 million, and now you're already paying Dahlin 11, and you have power at $8.3 million. So you're looking at paying $27 to $28 million to three defensemen, but the cap next year is $95.5. And the year after is going to be 104.5, and the year after 113. And the Sabres were not at the cap this year, so it's like you've got some flexibility to be able to make it fit. And I would say the way Bo Byram is playing right now and how he and Dahlin have been dominating in games, I would look to retain him.
Well, I applaud you for having a firm decision on that.
Wouldn't that answer the question, who is going to play with Rasmus Dahlin? It has been a question that we've asked. Like, it was Matthias Samuelsson, it was Will Borgen, it was Henry Jokiharju, it was Owen Power. That would answer your question.
That's true. I mean, if I was asking that question, I don't feel like I'm asking that question right now because it's 7 years in for Dahlin and maybe we're just used to seeing different partners, but
yes.
Am I wrong to suggest that maybe the name in the question has changed because people would rather now know who's playing with Owen Power?
Yeah, probably.
No, and the disclaimer here is the question is always going to change. It doesn't matter which team. It doesn't matter forwards, D, goal. Like, it's constantly evolving. I get it.
Wouldn't that have been Connor Clifton, though? Wouldn't that be why you signed Connor Clifton? To play maybe with Owen Power, being a right-handed shot, to be like your fourth defenseman on the team? I mean, when they signed him at $3.3 million, a $3 to $3.5 million defenseman is not a third-pair defenseman.
Yes, he is. Absolutely. 100%
well, not at that
world.
Money. That money 100%. Is more like...
100%. Where was Matthias Samuelsson? He's obviously top four based on length and dollar. And that's way more than Clifton.
Yeah, but I've got him in pencil right now
power?
Because I can't, like, I can't put him in pen.
But the two things can be true.
Yes, okay.
So I don't think Clifton was ever brought in to be a top four. My opinion. And the beauty of that was if they were that comfortable. Now, granted, Byram has arrived after Clifton here.
Yes.
So this changed things, 100%. But I don't think the discussion needs to be on Clifton. In fact, I don't think anybody's having that discussion right now.
Mr. Clifton would have that discussion with us on the show, though. He's great. I can't wait to see him again.
Yeah,
at the
but I'm just saying, I think we know what Clifton is, so we're not overly concerned about it. We're starting this defense conversation by still trying to project what Byram is, what his next contract would look like in terms of length and dollars, and whether you are just basically signing him to focus on a new top duo on this team long term, not just this year. So I don't know. As you can tell, I am incapable of getting to the decision that you just got to sign him, make him party. Like, I don't know, because I'm not fielding calls on what his value is right now.
Mm-hmm.
And my concern is, based on where they are in the standings, I don't know if now is the time to be extending anyone on the roster.
Yeah, that internal deadline may be the reason why. But again, again with Bo Byram, if people are like, oh, March 7, he's not signed and he's not traded, well, he doesn't have to be. He's an RFA. The Sabres can take him to arbitration, get him on a one-year deal. You're punting it down the road. Mm-hmm. I just feel for direction of the organization that you probably want to get that done, right? You probably are looking at either you trade and get value out of him, or you sign and you move on from that. A lot of things can happen. But that a lot of things maybe would happen also with a Jason Zucker, who's a UFA. That's a different thing. You don't have the ability to say, oh, we're going to punt it next year because we're going to still have a one-year deal with that player. Zucker's a UFA. Greenway's a UFA. You've got, you know, three defensemen that we just talked about, Jokiharju, Bryson, and Gilbert UFAs. Got Reimer UFA. And I think goalie is probably like you expect Levi to probably come up at some point next year, most likely. But you still have some big decisions. So that's why, you know, we ask on X, how is this roster going to look different in 2 weeks after the break? The big thing for me is Jordan Greenway. I think Greenway comes back. I think that afternoon, well, late afternoon, early evening game against the Rangers on Saturday the 22nd, you're going to see Jordan Greenway in the lineup. And now that makes, okay, where does that put Benson? Where does that put, you know, Krebs? Where does that put Quinn? Where does that put Cousins, who we saw him on the wing and saw him at center? There's a lot of movement in the roster with Jordan Greenway returning, but it's the same pieces that you're moving around. We ask on X, so there's, you know, people are saying, what about Elias Pettersson? There's still conversation about Pettersson. Jason here says, hopefully Pettersson, Sam Bennett, and Brendan Carlo are all added. Like, that's a dreamland. But that's what some people are saying. You need to add new bodies, new players to this roster moving forward.
And it's also part of why, I'm not saying it shapes my statement that I just made a couple of minutes ago about now not being the time necessarily for extensions. The fact is, general manager Kevin Adams has extended some of this current core in season. So it would be reasonable to assume that based on those past experiences and where they are at right now, that there would be pause on doing that again in season, right?
Yes, but I think the pause last year.
Even with Zucker, quite frankly, like Zucker's a UFA, and he's been a very popular choice to say, oh, you know, you should get him for another year or two.
Another year or
whatever.
Two, yes.
But
100%.
What, 100% what? That he's earned that? Or
100% that I would like to have Jason Zucker be part of this group moving forward.
Right, but you have to marry that with where they are in the standings. And I'm not pinning any of that on Zucker. In fact, it's the opposite, because if you didn't have Zucker, you'd be wondering, oh my gosh, would the offense still be in the top 12 in the league?
Last year at this time, going into the trade deadline, I was like, okay, I get, like, Quinn was injured, down year for Cousins, mm-hmm. a bit of a down year for Paterka until he got hot later in the year playing with Tuck and Thompson.
Well, he was, in his defense, he was warm before that. It wasn't.
He was warm, but but it was like the numbers were not what they were 2 years ago. I was like, okay, there's no rush to do anything now. It's a down year for everybody. There's next year. Next year is going to be different. The problem is that now we are a year later, and there is some players that are sitting here with, you know, Krebs has 4 goals, Quinn's has 9, Cousins has 11. You're looking at, you know, these are 3 guys that you would want at minimum 10 to 20 goals from all 3 of them, right? You would want Cousins to be near 20, Quinn to be near 20, and Krebs to probably be near 20.
Way over 20 for Cousins, obviously. You can't couch that one.
No, exactly. So being at 11, like Zucker's at 18. Like, I would love to have Zucker at 18 and Cousins at 20 right now. And mm-hmm. so you got 38 between the two of them. but you're not there. So is what my approach last year was wait, you know, there's no rush to do anything right now in season. Now we're a year later and I'm like, oh, maybe there's a little bit more rush to do something in season, because the problem in the off season, you're always kind of optimistic of the next year. But now is where you could start to think about next year right here with these 2 weeks coming up.
Yeah. Well, okay. Let's hold a pause on that and continue
to
work
in. Put a pin in it. We have a lot of airtime to fill in the next 2 weeks.
We do, but we also want to incorporate a lot of what you're taking from the audience and, you know, massage that into this larger discussion right now. And it has to be an incredibly large discussion based on where they're at, this 2 week window, the still to come trade deadline, and honestly, future projections for players on this roster. So we'll do that when we continue at Sabres Live on X, of course. And I mean, Sabres Live will be on site. They just won't be live from the road crew party, because that'll, of course, be much later on in the day. But I can't wait to be there to ramp up for the road crew party that comes up on March the 7th. And
trade deadline day, Duffer.
It is. I have a no trade, at least for this year only.
Yes.
Because I think I'm needed in attendance for this on March 7th.
You've been booked as the deadline. You're safe.
Tickets are $20. We have had such success with these events over the years, and it promises to be great again in Fort Lauderdale, just based on the long list of Sabres alumni who will be in attendance. Pierre Turgeon, Danny Gare, Don Edwards, just to name a few. And sabres.com/roadcrew. Again, tickets are just $20. Great time to get away, see a little hockey in the Sunshine State. Buffalo will be in Tampa the night before. Then they're in Lauderdale, or Sunrise, pardon me, the night after the Road Crew event. Sabres.com/roadcrew. We hope to see you there on March the 7th. More Sabres Live on this Monday edition after this.